Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And on Monday, we heard from former Clinton health policy advisor Paul Starr, excited about the emerging health care bill.
This is really a very major reform. It may be the most underappreciated social reform in my lifetime.
Then yesterday, we heard from single-payer advocate Steffi Woolhandler, who's not quite as enthused, even though insurance companies would be limited to a 20% profit margin.
That is pathetic that we think that's a step forward. It's better than what we have now. Some of them take up to 30%, but it's not really an adequate control on the insurance industry.
And now, with the Senate vote on the bill less than 24 hours away and all 40 Republicans likely to vote no, we'll get a critique from the right with Stephen Moore from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Their editorial on Monday predicted less choice and higher prices from the Democratic approach. Stephen also has a new book called The End of Prosperity. Hi, Stephen. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Happy holidays. Yeah, great to be here.
And same to you. And before we buy the Republican talking point about a government takeover of healthcare, I see that health insurance company stocks are rising ever since the Senate deal. Cigna, Aetna, United Healthcare,
right,
and hospital stocks, too. So it looks like Wall Street is bullish on the capitalist future of our healthcare system. What should we make of that economic indicator?
Well, I think it was Winston Churchill who said that the most exhilarating thing in life is to be shot at and missed. And I think a lot of these insurance companies and hospitals are breathing a sigh of relief that they weren't hit harder in this bill. But look, my concern isn't what the future of this bill is for health insurance companies. I think the real issue is, what is this going to do about cost? Will it contain costs of our healthcare system? Because I think the president has been right all along that we pay too much for healthcare in this country, although I think he's dead wrong when he says we don't get the highest quality. My concern is that this is going to explode in costs. I think we're creating a massive new entitlement program. And the one thing, Brian, I would, because I know you have listeners of all political persuasions, but I think the one thing we can hopefully all agree on is that if you create a new entitlement plan that covers 20 to 25 million more Americans with a government-run system, that is not going to control costs. It's going to cost a whole heck of a lot of money.
Well, you say government-run system.
Well, I mean government coverage.
Right. And it's going to cost money, but, you know, there's all that other stuff in there, the cuts to Medicare and so forth. It has the Congressional Budget Office, which is known to be nonpartisan, projecting a big reduction in the deficit out over 20 years.
Well, a couple things. I mean, one is that that they are predicting that, but even the CBO and also the Medicare and Medicaid actuaries call a lot of the cuts that are supposed to occur unrealistic. I've been working on trying to cut the cost of Medicare for 25 years, and Congress has never done it. So count me as a skeptic as to whether any of these cuts will actually occur. But what will definitely occur is that the government benefits will be expanded. And let's not forget, Brian, that Medicare and Medicaid together, even absent this program, already have multi-trillion dollar deficits. And one of the lines we've made all along at the Wall Street Journal is, wait a minute, why don't we solve the problem of the unfunded liabilities of the system as it already exists before we add on to it?
There certainly will be more payments to people to get health insurance, and you come from a very free market perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats' reforms are based on their premise that the free market has too many holes when it comes to health care to work on its own. They would say a pure market system would price unhealthy people out of the health insurance market altogether when they're the people who need it most. It's basic market logic, they would say. So can the market really provide our health insurance needs?
Mostly it can. And in fact, I would make the case that what we have today is this kind of bifurcated healthcare system where it's half public and half private. And, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the industries over the last 20 years or so that have had the biggest growth in inflation, it's been healthcare and education, the two industries that are most run by government. I think if we move more towards a system, you could call it free enterprise system, or it's just a system where patients have more control over how their health care dollars are spent, I think we'd have a much better health care system. For example, I support things like high deductible health plans, medical savings accounts, where people can actually shop around and decide whether the cost for that hip replacement surgery at Hospital A or Hospital B is a better buy. I think that a market-based healthcare system is the way to go to restrain costs and to guarantee that people have the choices that we all want.
Would that mean taking insurance out of it, the whole block of third-party payers out? If you're talking about an individual shopping around for price on a hip replacement, then that means that's going to come more and more out of that individual's pocket in that model, correct?
Well, you know, here's my point, Brian. You've got it about half right. My point is that we don't really have health insurance today. What we have is prepaid health care, where people pay these premiums and then everything's covered. And you're right that a lot of people have catastrophic coverage. They can't actually get catastrophic illnesses. They can't get the coverage that they need. What I would like to see us move towards is a real insurance system where people are paying out of pocket for their routine expenses, like when you go to see a doctor. But if you get a serious illness or a disease or accident and you go to the hospital and it costs tens of thousands of dollars, that's covered by your insurance. And we've moved away from that model, and that's why I don't think what we have in America today is truly an insurance system.
The Democrats, as they see it, are kind of splitting the difference between you and our guest yesterday, Steffi Woolhandler. Woolhandler wants to abolish private insurance altogether because of the 20% cut or more that insurers take off the top. She says Medicare is much more efficient and there's much more customer satisfaction, too. So they're not going there with these bills. But the approach, stripped down to its basics, and tell me if you agree even with this description of what it is, is make insurance mandatory, subsidize those who can't afford it, and let the private market sell the product. So that doesn't exactly sound like the Soviet Union.
No, it doesn't. But you know what's missing from the equation is what is going to control costs. And I don't see anything in this formulation that doesn't cause just this dramatic increase in the deficits that we're running. And as you know, we're already running $1.5 trillion deficit. So I think that if we had gone with more traditional approaches, number one, let people buy insurance across state lines. You know, Republicans have been talking about that. It adds more choice and competition. Number two, let's do medical malpractice reform. And I think all of us can agree the fact that the 2,400-page bill that the Democrats are going to pass doesn't have a single page that deals with medical malpractice problems. And thirdly, let's move towards more high-deductible policies. If we had done those things, I think we could have, you know, lowered by half the number of people who don't have insurance today.
What about costs for individuals, as well as for the individuals and groups, employers who buy insurance, as well as for the federal deficit? The Democrats say that they're trying to bring down costs in part by increasing choice. And certainly free market theory would say the more choice you have, the more competition there's going to be, the more price is going to come down. So they're creating these two national health insurance programs to compete with the state-by-state system that we have now, and setting up these exchanges for the uninsured where there has to be a minimum number of competitors on each exchange. Do you don't think that's going to work?
No, I think what's going to happen, look, I'm convinced if we pass this bill, and it looks like it will happen, that it creates a death spiral in the insurance market, because you're going to get sick people who sign up for insurance and healthy people are going to stay out of the market mostly.
But they have to go in, right?
No, but there's ways that healthy people can find ways around that. And so I think what you're going to do, I mean, we've seen this, you know, in many states like Massachusetts and Maine and California that have Obamacare type of systems. Their costs are out of control. Sick people enter the system. Healthy people find ways of opting out. And then what happens is it leads inexorably to what your guest yesterday would like to see, is a single-payer system. And I think a single-payer system like Canada has would be a disaster, both in terms of cost. And also, the most important issue of all is the quality of health care we get in this country, which I maintain is very high and superior to any other country in the world.
How are healthy people going to get around this? Just pay the fine because it's cheaper?
Yeah, just pay the fine. Yep.
So there's one place where liberals and the health insurance companies would be on the same page, because the insurance companies have been complaining that the fines are too low. And from their point of view, the reason that, you know, that they would complain is because they want the fines to be really steep so everybody goes and buys their product. From a policy perspective, I guess you want the fines steep so that the young, healthy people actually pay into the system.
Yeah, except the young and healthy people are the people who really get kind of screwed under the system, because they have to pay higher insurance costs for people who already who already are older and sick and have higher expenses. So that's one reason I think for young people, they're crazy to support this because their costs are going to go way up to subsidize older
right.
people and sicker people.
But that's where it really becomes an ethical and almost
right.
philosophical discussion,
mm-hmm.
right? Should we have a nation where everybody pays into health insurance because when you're older
right.
and sicker, it does cost such catastrophic
more.
Amounts of money.
Here's the issue, Brian. I think this is something for you to think about, though. I agree with what you're saying. It is an ethical issue. But, you know, it's also true that a lot of our health care expenses and a lot of our own health is not just a result of our genes and DNA. It's a result of our own personal lifestyle decisions. It's like saying that I should pay the same kind of auto insurance rates as somebody who's a reckless driver.
I don't remember when my father chose to become 80 years old.
No, but what I'm talking about is the fact that what we want is a system that rewards people financially, people who are healthy, who are not overweight, who don't overdrink, or who don't smoke, they should pay lower premiums than people who are overweight, who do drink, who do smoke, and things like
right.
that. And so, but there's nothing in this bill that allows that kind of discrimination, if you will, and encourages people to live healthy lifestyles, because we know that about half of our health care expenditures are a result of obesity.
We're just about out of time.
Yeah.
Before you go, my guest is Michael Moore. Stephen Moore. No, you know what? You'll hear in a minute why I said that.
Though, Brian.
That's my question. My guest is Stephen Moore from the Wall Street Journal editorial board, author of The End of Prosperity. I saw the movie. I saw the soundbite of you in which you say capitalism is a lot more important than democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And to many Americans, even not of Michael Moore's political stripes, that would be a scary statement. Do you stand by it?
Oh, I'm for democracy and capitalism, but I think the most important thing is that we have a free enterprise system that allows businesses to expand and entrepreneurs to start businesses, and that does not have a maximum amount of government interference, because we owe our prosperity in this country to the free enterprise system, even more than the system of democracy.
So you would take a country like current
Singapore.
China.
I would take a country like Singapore, which is not very democratic, over a country like, some of these poor countries that are democratic.
Stephen Moore. That's Stephen with an S. Author of The End of Prosperity from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for chiming in on healthcare.
See you soon. Happy holidays.
You
Bye.
Too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we heard Paul Starr. Kind of in the center, Steffi Woolhandler on the left, Stephen Moore on the right, and the last 3 days on the Senate's emerging health care bill. Coming up in a minute, we have a financial advisor to talk about end-of-year financial tips, what you should do before December 31st. And if you have any questions, you can call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on taxes, on charitables, on 401ks, flex plans. For Amy Feldman from the publication formerly known as Business Week. We'll tell you what it's known as now.